Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots across the American Redoubt inside the free zones here at Radio Free Redoubt and outside the wire to all of those oppressed in the occupied territories. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you had a blessed week and a belated Happy New Year. I hope this is a blessed New Year for you. It started off blessed, of course, for us because we had the opportunity for the first time in 9 years. Well, 8 years to start off a year without that former president who will not be named in office. No, we had President Trump in office. And I'll tell you what, it was the greatest giddy feeling ever. It was just incredible. And right out the gate, he was not holding back. So we're going to talk about that and so much more here at the Voice of the American Redoubt, where we're going to shed the light of truth on lies. We're going to hopefully inform you, encourage you, inspire you, and especially motivate you to action here in the fight to preserve liberty and our heritage. And we are big proponents of self-reliance, resiliency. And that's how I want to start today's show off, talking about being self-reliant. So important. Right now we're seeing real-world examples, not doom and gloom. You preppers, you're into doom and gloom. No, it's about being reliant, self-reliant, so you can help others to your left and your right. Because right now, that's what it's requiring. Neighbors are pulling together across the United States, up in the East Coast and the Northeast. They're getting just brutalized by what they call a bomb cyclone. So WNEP out of Massachusetts says a 1-2 punch of dangerously frigid temperatures and gusty winds will wallop parts of the Northeast and Midwest on Friday and Saturday after a major storm left piles of snow and thousands of power outages along the East Coast. Okay, so it's not just about getting pummeled with snow. Most of us in the American Redoubt across the Pacific Northwest, we're shrugging and going, meh. Snow, so what? We've got plenty of our own. But this is different. They've got temperatures that are dropping as low as 20 to 40 degrees below zero in parts of the Northeast with the wind chills bringing it down that low. I mean, this is deadly, deadly weather. But also what's happening is all the ice and slush is building up. And there are whole streets now where there, well, let's give you the latest developments from this news outlet. More than 5,100 customers in the East were without power, according to reports from 11 states. That's not really that significant, but they're expecting more on the way. Now, it is significant when you're in those kind of temperatures and you have an electric furnace and you are one of those 5,100 customers, then it's very significant. But that number is expected to go even higher, much higher, as this ice and snow takes down power lines, and especially as mainly the additional strain on the grid is causing brownouts in different areas. So at least 19 people have died just this week because of the weather. Six of them out of Wisconsin, four deaths in Texas, three in North Carolina, and one each in Ohio, Michigan, and Missouri, North Dakota, South Dakota, Virginia. And one sad case, 64-year-old man found lying dead, frozen, in front of his wheelchair. He was found by a Meals on Wheels worker. I feel bad for the Meals on Wheels worker. That'll make you lose sleep. Having to discover something like that is just heart-wrenching, especially when you're going there to help people, bringing elderly people meals on wheels, and there's somebody dead from hypothermia in front of their wheelchair, that's okay. Little survivor guilt, he'll be all right, but still unfortunate. This is deadly weather. This is super deadly weather. So now the low temperatures and wind chills will be threats. They'll continue to be. Dozens of record lows could be set over the weekend along the East Coast, including New York, Boston, and Philadelphia, heavily occupied territory. So let's see. Coming out of the storm, there was one. I saw this footage. It was amazing. The storm that flooded out these streets, because all the slush and water is running down these streets. It's like up to the wheel wells of these cars and above the lower portion of the doors on all these vehicles on this street. Well, then it freezes. So now you've got this glacier with all of these cars stuck in it. And I don't know what they're going to do. Some of the street departments are saying, yeah, we're just going to have to wait till the weather warms up. Well, okay, so you get to get your car in April. Wow. Unbelievable. So here you are, immobile, frozen, power's out, and you have electric everything, including heat. What do? So now they are mobilizing the National Guard, talking about declaring a state of emergency if that hasn't already been done. And people are, you know, they're basically stranded. So, yeah, it looks like they are declaring a state of emergency. So 2 feet of frozen water, ice, with all of their cars encased in it. Unbelievable. Now, let's jump back over to this side of the country. Here, just in fact, along the edge, the outer edges of the free zones, along in the occupied territory there, along the Pacific coast, we got two things going on. One in particular, strong earthquakes have hit San Francisco and Mount St. Helens. So they're saying that these could be foreshocks for something larger. We've been talking about this for a long time. We've done AMRON disaster communications training with the nationwide network of radio operators. And there will be more of that coming. But this is definitely indicative of potentially much larger quakes. And we've trained toward this super earthquake, the Cascadia subduction zone earthquake that they're expecting will be at least a 9.0, followed by, you know, devastating tsunamis all along the Pacific coast. And we've got a lot of patriots that are living over there, a lot of citizens over there that definitely will be needing help. And many of those communities will be written off for days, weeks, and I'm not exaggerating, even months. After some of the briefings from the Washington Military Department in the state of Washington, they are briefing that given the limited number of resources they have to respond with and the number of resources that they would be counting on to come into the region, just to make assessments of the communities could take weeks or longer. And there are communities along the West Coast, on the other side of the mountains, that they do not even plan to visit to conduct an assessment for up to 4 to 6 weeks. So they're saying these people need to be self-reliant for not 72 hours, not even a week. We're talking a minimum of 1 month of being self-reliant as far as fuel, lighting, power, medication, food, first aid supplies. Because it will be literally unpassable conditions. You will not be able to travel. You'll be immobilized. One of the things in our assessment that was revealed was how many bridges there are throughout that area and how many of those would be damaged and impassable. So we need to really be thinking about being self-reliant. Now, those of us outside of those impact zones, we are training to offer assistance. There will be more need than there will be resources. And we're still seeing that in Puerto Rico, how at least one third of Puerto Rico from the hurricane is still, they are still left without commercial power and spotty communications. And in some places, no communications. Very hard hit. Well, this, they're saying this type of earthquake where there are, you know, literally, you know, millions of people in the impact zones, this would be This would just be a massive, massive impact. Well, now Mount St. Helens is acting up. They've had, I want to say 17 earthquakes right around just Mount St. Helens since the first. Let me try to pull this up. I had it and I had it highlighted because I wanted to talk about that. I'm looking for, they had a very unusual 3.9 magnitude earthquake on Thursday. And they're concerned that Mount St. Helens might be recharging. So, 30, let's see. Let me just read this to you. If this was the worst quake in this particular swarm, it won with that earthquake that I just mentioned, the 3.9. Ultimately, that big of a deal. However, the USGS geologist David Schwartz is warning that this 4.4 magnitude earthquake could potentially be a foreshock of something larger. There's another one. That's right, the 4.4. He says it's centered on about a 5-mile-long section of the Hayward Fault that in the past 10 years has produced 30 earthquakes of at least 3 to 4 magnitude. So it's a hot spot along the fault. And this morning's earthquake was the largest of that group. So they're intensifying. So I just want to encourage everybody in the Pacific Northwest including the inland Pacific Northwest to absolutely be prepared for not being able to move, to be immobile. Apparently last month, seismologists at the University of Washington logged more than 80 quakes, four times as many as what's average. So there's definitely an increase of volcanic activity as well. And we want you to be self-reliant. We want you to be able to not just survive it yourself, but also be able to help your neighbors, to help your community, to be a contributor, not somebody that needs help to come to you and bring food and aid and relief, but where you're in a position where you not only survive something like that, you thrive and you're able to actually help others. It's the Christian thing to do. And besides that, you want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem, always. And we that premise carries over through even the American Redoubt. If something major happened to our country, and we followed the other major empires in the history books, when the signs were telling us so that our republic was about ready to, enter a new season in world history, there's a rebuilding process. And so that's why we have to be self-reliant, self-resilient, so that we can make it through that and then actually be part of the rebuilding of something new on the other side, if the Lord gives us that opportunity. Want to be prepared for it. I was excited this January 1st, seeing all of the reviews of Trump's accomplishments throughout just the first year in office. And I'm going to go over a couple of those, you know, before we take a break. And then I want to talk about some events locally here in the Eastern Washington, North Idaho, this side of the Rockies in the American Redoubt. But as you, most of you regular listeners know, I was not a Trump fan prior to the election. Matter of fact, it was right up to the election. I've said that I really believe that he has an inflated ego, and that Donald Trump sees this as the ultimate, the pinnacle of conquest. That this is the ultimate reality show for him. He's going to say whatever's necessary, whatever it takes to obtain the position of president of the United States. He's a very ambitious man. And this is really nothing more than a ego-driven adventure that he's willing to pour nearly all of his wealth into to accomplish this, to grab this trophy. And then, of course, what could we expect after if he won, which is, you know, impossible, of course, is he's never going to win, that he's just a blowhard and and we're basically going to be stuck with that woman. Well, I believe that the prayers of the American people, the believers, on their knees, I believe that some spiritual warfare took place. I believe that supernaturally, we were given borrowed time by him being victorious. I won't even go into all the conversations that were taking place among Christians and conservatives and patriots at the prospect of that woman becoming the president. I will say, I am not aware of any other record sales on firearms and ammunition during that time when it appears that she was going to be president. Well, people have kind of let off the gas a little bit because we see Trump actually following through on campaign promises. I have been so beyond impressed with what I've seen this man of not just words, but a man of action actually doing, who has the guts to do what no other presidential candidate, I am convinced, would have done. I don't care who it was. I don't care if it's Ron Paul. I don't think there is any person who has been a candidate for the presidency for the last 30 years who would have actually had the fortitude to push through an agenda. And as much as the left hates him, what he is doing, what Trump has accomplished, is exactly what we've all sat around the kitchen table talking with friends and family saying, I wish somebody would, and then just fill in the blank. He's doing it. It's just remarkable. So there's a there's several websites that have covered this, and I pulled this one up from WorldNet Daily. I'm not a big world. I love WorldNet Daily's content, but I don't go there anymore because I cannot stand the continuous bombardment of pop-ups and commercials and ads and just in your face. I don't go there. I stopped going to The Blaze long ago, WorldNet Daily long ago. But this article, I plowed through it so I could copy and paste these achievements into my notes because I was just, they have a really good comprehensive list here. So here's an accounting of the truly significant achievements of the first 8 months of the Trump presidency. They're a little bit behind. Actually, this has been updated. Compiled in conjunction with the Thank Trump Card campaign, which has a dedicated website, thanktrump.us. That's, why did I not go there? I'm going to go there and I'm going to investigate that before the next show. So the accomplishments are all the more noteworthy as they've been carried out in an environment of unrelenting negativity on the part of not only the Democrats and almost the entire news media, but the Beltway establishment itself. And I would add even Republicans. I think I just jumped ahead a little bit. They say the entire donor class, the deep state, and even many Republicans wedded to the DC swamp. Oh yeah, he's hated. But we need somebody with thick skin that doesn't care if they hate him for doing the right thing. He's going to get in there and he's going to do the right thing anyway. So just this month, January, this is what we woke up to. This week, the unemployment rate for Black Americans dropped to an all-time low in December to 6.8%. The previously monthly low was 7.4% in 2000. When the previous president, who will not be named, I didn't say the whole thing, so it doesn't count. I know, I'm going to hear from some of you. You said it. I started to say it. The government has been tracking unemployment by race since 1972. The overall unemployment rate is just 4.1%. So, how's that? Stick that in your hookah. Now, stocks. The Dow Jones Industrial Average traded above 25,000 points for the first time January 4th, just 5 weeks after closing above 24,000 points for the first time. Last month, this was a beautiful thing. I got this tweet, and I'm like, yes, fist in the air, in your face. The Trump administration announced December 29th, the United States will deny Pakistan military aid amounting to $255 million. A spokesman for the National Security Council explained that President Trump has made clear that the United States expects Pakistan to take decisive action, and I say right now, against terrorists and the militants on its soil. Islamabad's support for the U.S. security strategy for South
Asia will ultimately determine the trajectory of our relationship, including future security assistance. So put Pakistan on notice. We're about ready to take your blank check away from you, sneaky little buggers. I mean, come on. Osama bin Laden was camped out just a mile from a military base in Pakistan. Why? Because he felt safe there. Why? Because he was safe there. Enough. It's over. EPA reform. More than 700 people have left the Environmental Protection Agency since Trump took office. Haters. Nearly a quarter of the way toward its goal of shrinking the agency to Reagan administration levels. A lot of these people are leaving these federal agencies because they can't stand being under the Trump administration. Good riddance. But remember, we're on borrowed time. These agents that will eat out your subsistence and take your property, they are going to be lurking in the shadows, waiting to return when the pendulum swings the other way politically and the next regime comes in. It's going to be game on. People, we are on borrowed time. Make use of it. Now, this was beautiful to me. United Nations, the ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, announced days after the UN General Assembly condemned the U.S. for recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital, that Washington negotiated a $285 million cut in the global body's bloated budget for next year. You know what I call a $285 million cut to the United Nations from the U.S.? A good start. Prior to the December 21st UN vote, Haley warned that the U.S. will remember this day. Good girl. When once again we are called up to make the world's largest contribution to the UN, and we will remember it when many countries come calling on us to pay even more and to use their influence for their benefit. So another one. This is another useless entity that needs to just go away. Or they can do their own thing in their own little corner. Leave the United States and get the United States out of the UN. That's what I say. I want to thank our sponsor for this segment, Werks Holsters, www.werkz, as in Zulu, works.com. Custom-made holsters right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Check them out today. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message.
In the schools, textbooks are rewritten to tell the communist version of history.
Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply
have to change the meaning of words like religion and duty and democracy. The communists set out to brainwash the people.
We do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
14-year-old Polish children learn from textbooks like these.
Welcome back to Radio Free Redoubt. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you're listening to the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I want to thank our sponsors for this segment, Riverfront Suites, Patriot-owned business right there in St. Mary's, Idaho. Beautiful, right on the St. Joe River, riverfrontsuites.com. And also, I want to remind you guys that our sponsors also are linkable from our Highlights and Resources page on radiofreeredoubt.com. And I want to remind you of our weekly podcast, which will be airing tomorrow night at 8 p.m. every Sunday evening. And of course, the last couple of weeks we did not, because the Sunday evening fell on New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve. So we gave the partisans, including myself, a break during the holidays. It was much needed. Very, very nice. So also, all of our highlights and resources that we mentioned throughout the show are linkable inside our highlights and resources posting for each show. So go to radiofreeredoubt.com, and thank you for helping to spread the word to others about Radio Free Redoubt and the mission of the American Redoubt. What is the mission of the American Redoubt? Well, it is to encourage those to strategically relocate here who cherish and value our American heritage and our ideals, and understand that all of those are under assault in our country, and the steamrolling machines just keep coming, and people need to withdraw. They need to pull back to a safe haven, to a protective, defensible position where they can dig in, and it's the last stronghold. Remember, everybody's saying, America, you must preserve it. There's no place else to go. Well, we didn't do it. So, Americans, there's no place else to go. You must preserve the American Redoubt because there is no place else to go. Well, the next logical step in the American Redoubt movement is the 51st state, or I should say, the movement to form the next state, Liberty State. Now, the state of Jefferson, they might be able to pull it off before the folks in Eastern Washington, but the bottom line is people need another place to go. They have to, Idaho is bursting at the seams. It's rated now the number one state for growth where people are moving to. Largely, those are conservative Americans that are getting out of places like the I-25 corridor in Colorado. From Denver to Colorado Springs and California and the Seattle area, the West Coast of definitely all highly occupied territories. Well, if you want to learn more about the solution to these problems, stop talking about problems, start talking about the solutions. And there is only one solution now at this point, because all other measures have been exhausted. All other peaceful measures have been exhausted. There's one left, and that is Liberty State. So I want to invite you guys on Saturday, January 20th at 3 p.m. Mark your calendars. We're going to have this on Radio Free Redoubt. It's going to be on our Facebook posting. Saturday, January 20th, just a couple of weeks away, at 3 p.m. at the Colville Ag Center at the fairgrounds in Colville, Washington, in the northeast corner of Eastern Washington. And definitely strong patriot territory in Liberty State. Representative Matt Shea will be giving his presentation at that event. And it's being advertised to the public in the local newspapers, flyers, radio stations, and so on. This is a fundraiser, so please plan to bring your funds to donate. They're going to be having a dessert auction and several other things they're going to be auctioning off. And it's going to be really exciting. So put that on your calendar. If you want to learn more about Liberty State, so you can begin formulating a plan on how you can get involved, then please do so. Anyway, that's a wrap. Ran out of time for today. So you guys have a blessed week. Join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. God bless.